We're joined now by Edward Conard, former managing director at Bain Capital and author of Unintended Consequences. He's also a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Edward, welcome back to the show.
John, thank you for having me.
So Ed, let's make a deal. Let's just pretend we're the negotiators here. If we can't raise marginal taxes on the rich, we've got a problem paying down this whole fiscal cliff obligation and set of obligations. What's it going to take on the Democratic side or on the spending side for you to get a little more flexible here?
I think that tax increases are possible, and I think that that is really the Republican negotiating problem, which is after you go over the fiscal cliff, I think many Republicans will agree to lower taxes on the middle class and upwards through the pay scale, probably beyond $250,000, but I wouldn't be surprised if you had enough defectors at $250,000 for the Democrats to pass their bill, and that's what makes the Republican negotiating leverage, I believe, quite weak. I think the Republicans are looking for spending reductions in exchange for tax increases. I think the president is shrewdly negotiating for an increase in taxes on the wealthy without having to offer spending cuts and pushing that off into a second negotiation. So I think he has a very powerful hand that he's playing here, and that the ability to reach a deal is not as bad as it appears.
Now, can we just level with the American people here a little bit? If the taxes were to increase above a million, and I'm not looking for any specific details, in general, does that apply to you, Ed?
Yes.
Okay. And below, say in the 250,000 to a million range, let's just say that applies to both of us, okay?
All right.
All righty. So in your particular case, is there some personal issue with raising taxes that would really change your net worth in some way, or could you handle it? Is the pain tolerable?
The pain is tolerable. The pain is easily tolerable. I think the problem, though, when you look at it that way, is that look at the difference between the U.S. and Europe over the last two decades. The U.S. has grown 63%. France and Germany, less than half as much. We have 35 to 40% more hours of work per working age adult in France and Germany. So I think if you change the tax rate, you know, if Europe lowers their tax rates and reduces their government spending, are they immediately going to start to grow as fast as the United States? Of course not. This compounds slowly over many years, two decades in the case of the United States. So do I think there'll be dramatic changes to the economy next year if we raise taxes on the wealthy? No. I think that that will slow growth slightly, and that will compound slowly over time. And you see the effect on the structure of the U.S. economy relative to the structure of Europe's economy two decades later.
Do you think there's a problem in general trying to develop strategic fiscal policies for the United States to address some structural issues in the economy held under these insane deadlines where things have to be done in a matter of hours?
Well, sure. I believe that the president has successfully used that to negotiate from his side, which is ultimately we have to find $900 billion a year of spending cuts or tax increases. That's we only spend $3.6 trillion, so it's a 25% across the board cut in spending, and we only raise $1.1 trillion a year in income tax. That's an 80% across the board increase in income taxes. Can anybody solve that structural problem negotiating under these deadlines? It's preposterous. And so I think the president has wisely tried to separate, from his perspective, wisely tried to separate the fiscal cliff from resolving the long term. And so I think it's very easy to avoid the fiscal cliff. He's saying, look at $50 billion a year of tax increases on people earning over $250,000. That alone would probably get him to agree to knock over the fiscal cliff. He's asking for about $150 billion a year of tax increases, but that's a small, that doesn't do anything to bring the our fiscal policy
right
into, to make it sustainable. That's simply a side negotiation to avoid the fiscal cliff. But keep in mind, the fiscal cliff was put in place. It was a compromise to try to find a way to resolve the long term. What we're saying is, okay, we won't resolve, we'll agree not to resolve the long term if we make a couple of minor adjustments to the tax policy, which don't go very far to solving the true structural problems.
So let's go down the list here. It sounds like you're saying that the president is negotiating from a position of strength, but that you basically believe he's negotiating in good faith. Is that a fair characterization?
Keep in mind, there's two negotiations. One negotiation is how do we bring our fiscal policy, how do we make it sustainable over the long run? I believe he's not negotiating in good faith. He is not negotiating on that point. There's a second issue, which is how do we avoid the fiscal cliff in January? I think he is negotiating on that front in good faith, yes, from a very strong negotiating position.
What about John Boehner? In negotiating in good faith?
Sure. I think he's trying to negotiate the first issue, and he's frustrated that the president has successfully cornered him into only negotiating the second issue. And I think on the second issue, the reason why the president has got such a strong hand is for two reasons. If we go over the fiscal cliff, as I said before, a number of Republicans, I believe, will defect and agree to lower tax rates on whoever they can lower tax rates on, which won't be the richest taxpayers. And the second problem is I think the president is willing to go over the fiscal cliff because he needs $900 billion of tax increases and spending cuts to keep spending at the level that it's at, a 30% increase since 2007. If he can blame those tax increases on the Republicans, I think he has accomplished an objective he's trying to accomplish, which is raise taxes in order to keep the spending at 24% of GDP versus a historical average of 20%. So either way, I think the Republicans are in trouble. If they hold together, they're going to get blamed for going over the fiscal cliff. And if they break apart, the president will get two bites at the apple. He'll get tax increases on the wealthy, and then we'll begin the negotiation to bring things into equilibrium where he'll demand more tax increases on the wealthy. Because even if you go with the fiscal cliff, that's $650 billion a year. You still need another $250 billion a year to get to the $900 billion a year, which holds the finances in equilibrium. That's a 70% marginal tax rate.
Well, we will see if all of that sort of political leverage results in some urgency on the part of Republicans and negotiators on both sides of the aisle in the few days left. Edward Conard, thanks so much.
Yeah, I think they won't resolve this until after they go over the cliff.
All right. Edward Conard is former managing director of Bain Capital, author of Unintended Consequences, and visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.